Brothers and sisters, we live in a world of fear and uncertainty, a world in which anxiety reigns. And we live in a time of fear and of uncertainty and of anxiety. Or perhaps we could say we live in a time when there are events that create a particular temptation in that direction. But in one sense, we don't live in a time anymore of fear and anxiety and so on than people in the past have lived in. And for us as Christians, this ought not to be something that shakes us. This ought not to be something that controls us, that determines our decisions and our actions. Rather, it's just something that we acknowledge that we live in such a world where there are things that happen. There are disasters and there are cataclysms and there are plagues that come upon people and there are financial disasters and on that cause people to be fearful. But how have Christians historically responded to all of these things? How have Christians dealt with fear? Well, if you read St. Athanasius the Great, he talks about how the fact that the martyrs went joyfully to their martyrdom is a proof of the resurrection of Christ. Because how could you do that without the grace of one who has risen from the dead? And this is the fact that we see throughout history that people were converted to the Christian faith when they saw how the martyrs went to their deaths fearlessly, courageously, joyfully. Tertullian says that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, because the more the pagans tried to kill them, the more they sprouted up everywhere. In fact, the people who were killing them were converted by seeing their faith in God, by seeing their joy, even as they went to their death. And they who were living depressing lives, were saying, whatever those people have, that's what we want. And their hearts were converted. So this is what we see historically, is that Christians respond to fearful things, things that would strike fear in a normal human being, but they respond to them courageously because their trust and their hope is in Christ, who is risen from the dead, who's trampled down death by death, who has power over death and over Hades. So what is there to be afraid of? Yet many of us continue to struggle with the passion of fear. And it is a passion. We have to be clear about this. And the fathers are clear. Today is the Sunday of St. John Climacus. He's called Climacus, of course, because he wrote the book, The Ladder of Divine Ascent, Climax. In Greek, it's a ladder, and in ancient Greek. And so he's known as St. John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus. Well, I have a story about St. John Climacus and fear. When a number of years ago, I was traveling to the Holy Land and to Egypt, to the Sinai Peninsula, with my parents and with Presbytera Maria, we had the opportunity and the great blessing to visit St. Catherine's Monastery, where St. John Climacus was the abbot at one time, many centuries ago. Before becoming abbot, he had lived as a hermit, not far from the monastery, in a cave. But we went and we visited, and it was really a wonderful thing. We were able to venerate holy relics, for example, the relics of St. Catherine. We were able to climb up Mount Sinai in the dead of night and be there for the sunrise, all of these wonderful things. But one thing that my father and I really wanted to do was to go visit the cave of St. John Climacus. And we weren't sure exactly how we were going to find our way to it, because it's at a distance from the monastery, and you have to kind of hike through the desert to get there. But we happened to meet a man, a Bedouin. There's a Bedouin community right there, right next to the monastery. They've been there for centuries. And we met this Bedouin man who offered to take us to the cave of Max, as he called him, Climax. Max, I'll take you to Max. Go see Max. So we thought, wow, what a wonderful opportunity. And then we thought, is this guy going to take us out into the desert and kill us, you know, and take our wallets or something? So at least I had to deal with that anxiety or sense that this wasn't safe, what we were doing. We didn't know this guy, you know? We didn't know what he would do to us. And we're going to go out to a completely isolated place with this man. But of course, we had to say, well, we're going to put our hands, we're going to put ourselves in the hands of God, and we're going to put ourselves in the hands of St. John Climacus and ask for his prayers and his protection. And so off we went with him. And of course, everything was okay. But this was an opportunity, and really that whole time in Egypt, because everywhere we went, there were military checkpoints. There were billboards that said tourism is good for Egypt, so you know they're telling people not to kill the tourists. They sent an armed bodyguard with us because as Americans we were especially at risk, you know. So all of these things were causing us to feel very nervous and very, very fearful that, you know, at any time something could happen to us. And yet, of course, God protected us, but we had to struggle with that. And, of course, through that struggle, we were blessed. We were able to go to the cave of St. John Climacus, and that was really a wonderful, life-changing experience, something that's unforgettable. So thank God. So, but my point in telling this story is that, you know, even for us as Christians, even going to a holy place, being on a pilgrimage, and believing as we do in the one who has the power over death and who is risen from the dead, Jesus Christ, and, you know, and because of that, we ought not to have any fear at all. Yet, nevertheless, we may have to grapple with fears. We may have to grapple with anxieties. Why? Because our faith isn't perfect and because our fear of God is imperfect. You know what St. John Climacus says about fear? He says, the one who fears God completely has no other fear. He says, the one who lacks the fear of God is afraid even of his own shadow. Because if we have perfect fear of God, that takes away all other fear. That causes all other fear simply to vanish. But if we don't have the fear of God, then we're left to our own devices. What do we mean when we say the fear of God? We mean that we know with absolute certainty and with all of our being, and we put all of our hope into this knowledge that God is in complete control of everything, that He is God, that He is the ruler of the universe, and that there's nothing that happens or can happen that He doesn't allow to happen. And if He's allowing it to happen to us, it's for our benefit, period. If we have fear of God, then we have that perspective. If we don't have that perspective, then to some degree, we're lacking the fear of God. We some part of us, we say, yes, I believe in God, but still, I think I have to kind of control things and make things happen. Yes, I believe in Christ, but I feel like all of these things depend on me. If we're going around and we're feeling burdened by the weights of responsibilities and all these kinds of things, then somehow the fear of God is missing. You see? Somehow faith is not quite right in us. Because we're trying to carry it ourselves. So on the one hand, our teaching, our faith, what our faith teaches us is very clear. Christ is risen. There's nothing else for us to fear. Nothing. We only must fear God. And along an expression or a result of the fear of God is that we fear sin. We fear falling away from God because we love God and we want to draw near to Him and we know that He's everything and we know that our life is in Him. So we don't want anything to come between us and that. And what could possibly come between us and God? Only one thing. Our will when we choose sin. That's all. So that's, in a sense, what we're afraid of. It's being separated from the one who has all power and all goodness and loves us perfectly, unconditionally. So we know these things on the one hand. And on the other hand, because of our weakness, because of the weakness of our faith, because of the weakness of our fear of God, that we don't perfectly comprehend and don't perfectly fully understand and believe that He has all power and all control and everything is in His hands. And we simply try to maintain our own control over things. Because of this, we still struggle with fear. We still have this passion within us. So St. John Climacus says the fear of God enables us not to be afraid of anything else, but if we don't have the fear of God, and you know, if we have no fear of God, then we come to the point where we're afraid of our own shadow. Everything strikes fear in us, you know? Like everything. And we become like conspiracy theorists, and there's a plot everywhere, and you know, everything's dangerous. We're not denying that there's evil in the world and that there are conspiracies. But if you're a Christian, if you have the fear of God, because we're all Christians, but we're weak in our Christianity and our faith. But if the fear of God were perfect, then even though we know all of these evil things are going on, we would not be obsessed with them. We would not waste any time worrying about them at all. We would spend all of our time looking to Christ and saying, okay, Lord, I know you're in control. Just show me what to do. That's all. And we would be at peace. So we could be aware of all of the evils. We could know exactly what these people are plotting, what those enemies are doing, and what illnesses we could contract, and know all of that. And none of it would strike fear into our heart because we'd be looking at Christ. And we'd be saying, Lord, what would you have us do? How would you have us respond? Be with us. And we would be trusting in Him. But we struggle because somehow we forget, or we don't turn to Christ when we need to. This is connected to today's gospel. And here we find a wonderfully characteristic passage in St. Mark's gospel that we hear, of course, every year on this Sunday of St. John Climacus. And the church gives this passage to us with a particular lesson in mind. And perhaps there are many lessons that we could learn from this passage, which is so rich. But here's one in particular that's connected to this matter of fear. Fear of God versus fear of man. Fear of the fear of the Lord versus, you know, the fears that would drive a wedge between us and the Lord. So in this passage, we have this man who has this epileptic son, and he brings the epileptic son to the disciples to have them cast the demon out, as they say. This is a demon that's causing this. This is an oppression from the devil. But the disciples are not able to do anything. They're not able to. And so then the Lord comes, and he says, this is what happened. The man says, I brought my son to your disciples, and they couldn't cast out the demon. And the Lord says, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Bring your son to me. And he asks him, how long has this been happening to him? And he tells him, since he was a child. And it caused all of these terrible things to happen. It would throw him into the fire, and would throw him into the water, and so on. But then what does the Lord say to him? The man says, if you can do anything, have compassion upon us and help us. If you, Jesus, can do anything. Right? And of course, we hear that, and that sounds funny to us, because of course Jesus can do something. But we can also have sympathy with this man, because how many times have we been in the same boat, saying, well, God, if you can do anything about this. Well, basically, maybe we don't express it like that, but that's how we're living. We're thinking, well, maybe God can help, or maybe who knows? Maybe he'll leave us to our own devices, right? But the Lord, of course, responds, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. All things are possible to him who has faith. But get this, how does the man then respond? It says, with tears. So we know that this is completely heartfelt. We know that he's lowered all of his defenses, and now he's coming in a childlike way. And what does he say? Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. You see? This is a powerful prayer. This is a wonderful example. And probably we don't usually think of this man as some kind of hero, you know, some great hero of the faith. What's he known for? He's known for having an epileptic son and being having a struggle to believe. That's what he's known for. And yet this prayer is offered to us as an example. Why? What kind of prayer is it? It's a prayer of humility. It's a completely real prayer. It's a prayer in which he acknowledges his struggle. He acknowledges that his faith is imperfect, that he hasn't completely put his trust in God, but that he wants to, and that he's sick of trying to do it himself, and that he knows that doesn't work, and that his heart is broken because he keeps trying to control things himself. You see, it's a prayer of great humility. It's acknowledging his weakness. Lord, I'm weak. Help me not to be so weak. And this is what we can do when we find ourselves facing things that strike fear in our hearts. And we discover that we have this passion of fear. And we feel anxiety. And we're not responding with perfect faith and perfect trust and perfect courage to the situation at hand. And we're not remembering that God is God, and we're struggling with all of these things. But we can still turn to the Lord, like this man, and say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I'm fearful, help me not to be fearful. We're confessing our weakness. We're confessing that we can't do it without the grace of God. And this prayer of humility can work wonders. Just like it does for this man. In response to this prayer, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief, the Lord heals his son. In response to this prayer. Of course, then the disciples also say, Lord, why could we not do it? And he says, this kind cannot be cast out but by prayer and fasting. So we also know that fasting is connected to our prayer and to our ability to overcome fear, to overcome all of our passions, and to have perfect fear of God and perfect faith. And we know that fasting is connected because this is also something that humbles us. So it's through the path of humility that we can be brought to the true fear of God, which conquers all other fear. And St. John Climacus has something to say about this. He says, if pride alone caused Satan to fall, perhaps humility alone can raise us up to heaven. It's a beautiful word. It's a beautiful reminder that even if our faith is weak, and even if our fear of God is not what it should be, still, when we humble ourselves, God will raise us up. He will lift us up. He will, if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us, as it says in Scripture. I'll end with a story, another story from this one from the life of St. John Climacus. He had a certain disciple named Moses, and he sent Moses on a particular errand. And this Moses, all we know is that he was a disciple of St. John, and we know about this event that took place. As he was on his errand, he had been traveling and he was tired, so he lay down. And he was resting in the shade underneath some boulders, some rocks. And there in the shade, he fell asleep. Well, all of a sudden, as he was sleeping, he heard the voice of his spiritual father, St. John Climacus, say his name, Moses. And he got up and he jumped because he was kind of startled from his sleep. He jumped aside from where he had been sleeping, and just then, a huge rock from the rocks that were up above fell down where he was sleeping, and he was delivered from death. Now, kind of like the man in the gospel, it's not like Moses did anything very great here, you see? He's not sort of portrayed as some kind of great hero of the faith, except for this one thing. And what is that? That he entrusted himself to his spiritual father, and through his spiritual father, to God. He put himself in God's hands. You see, he was in obedience to his spiritual father. This was the kind of life he was living. It was a life of humility and obedience. So, this is the thing. And this is what we're called to. In all of our weakness, we may say, well, I'm no great hero. I'm not like these martyrs in the early church who, you know, go fearlessly to their death, singing and all of these things. I'm just a person of weak faith. I'm a person who is fearful and has all of this anxiety and all of these things. But if in that weakness we can simply turn to the Lord and pray like this man, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. I'm fearful, Lord. Help me not to be so fearful. I don't have perfect fear of you. Help me to have more perfect fear of you. Help me to put my trust more perfectly in you. If we can pray like that, with true humility, entrusting ourselves in all of our weakness to the Lord, then that prayer of humility can work wonders. It can deliver us from falling boulders. It can deliver us from all the fearful things. It can deliver us ultimately from the fear of death and from the power of Satan and from the control of our passions, and it can set us free. So may God grant us that kind of humble prayer. May he enable us, even in the midst of fiery trials, to turn to him with all our hearts. And in childlike humility and faith to say, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. To our God be all honor, praise, and glory, to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages. Amen.